So, Gats here, if you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Battery start at just $79.99. They also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
It's the shipping container. I'm really trying to bring a different energy. I'm getting annoyed with myself when I listen back to these local hours.
You're not the only one, Chris.
Because I don't want to be disingenuous. Like, I do enjoy these local hours and I enjoy hanging out with you guys, but I always feel like at the very start of these, I'm way too over the top and I'm starting to annoy myself. How is this one today, Billy? Like, I'm trying to just be a little cooler.
I don't like it, if I'm going to be honest. I like the energy. I like the let's set the tone. Let's be happy. Let's, you know. We need a little more happiness, and that's what you bring to the table. That's, I think your happiness and optimism is your greatest strength. Thank you. I wouldn't like listen back and like question your, you know, energy. I like the energy. I wish that I could, I don't want to say fake the energy, but I wish that I could kind of, you know, give off that same energy.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. Maybe I'll bring it back next time. Who just had a toaster?
It's a shipping container.
Yeah.
Talking to you on a Tuesday like that, you know?
Yes. Who's making
Set
lunch?
The tone.
I just heard a toaster. Roy, was that you?
Yes, that was me.
What do you got going on? What's going on
hot
today?
Dogs. Hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Ooh, you got to be careful.
Hot
with
dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Am I right, Roy?
Yeah. You got to be careful with hot dogs, Roy. You got to cut those things so many times. It's the food that makes me the most nervous. Grapes and hot dogs are the foods that make me the most nervous with my kid. What about you, Roy?
Not my first rodeo, Chris. As soon as this thing gets out the toaster, it's going to get sliced up.
Mm. Wait, you toast hot dogs?
It's a toast oven.
Hmm.
Yes.
Ah, I was going to ask you how you make your hot dog. Do some people microwave them? Other people put them in boiling water? You put them in a toaster oven.
Here's the thing. When you put the hot dog in a microwave, they usually blow up on you. And to avoid having that hot dog blow up on me, let's go in the toaster oven.
Greg, how do you prepare a hot dog?
It has to be on a stovetop, grilled in a pan.
Okay, a little oil, or do you need oil? Like, do we oil up a burger? I mean, a hot dog in that?
Oh, just the very slightest amount, just a drop of oil or a little spray oil, perhaps. And of course, celery salt goes without saying.
That goes without saying, does it?
Oh, yeah.
I've never even heard of celery salt.
It's a wonderful thing, Billy. You gotta try it. It's in your spice section. Very cheap.
So you're telling me if I had two hot dogs and one of them I put celery salt on and one of them I put regular salt on, you would be able to tell the taste difference?
Oh, sure. Hot dogs actually have a lot of sodium in them. So I would never put salt on a hot dog because they're naturally salty. But celery salt, even though it's called salt, it just imparts a certain flavor that I love. I've grown up loving it. I think it's a New England thing. I think in the Boston area where my roots are, a lot of people use celery salt.
Where would you rank celery salt on your hierarchy of spices?
It's up there. It is. Gosh, I like a Cajun seasoning. I like lemon pepper. And then I'd probably jerk seasoning. And then celery might come right in there. Definitely top five.
Is celery salt like the equivalent of almond milk? Is it like the healthier version of salt?
You know, I've never analyzed that. I don't know.
Because you said that hot dogs have a lot of sodium, so I wouldn't put regular salt on that, but I will put celery salt, implying that it's not as unhealthy.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that. I think you inferred it more than I implied it. But but the weird thing is I don't use celery salt on anything except a hot dog. You know what I'm saying? It's not something I'll put on. I don't use it as a salt substitute. I won't put it on popcorn or anything like that. And ironically, perhaps, or maybe it's not that ironic, if I'm eating a piece of celery, I won't put celery salt on it. I'll put regular salt on it. How about that?
I think we've talked about before how bang for your buck, salt really, you know, you buy salt for whatever it is that salt costs, and it'll last you like 7 years. So celery salt, I'm assuming, comes like in a smaller portion, especially if you're only using it for hot dogs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like $1.39 and it lasts forever. You know, I mean, you got to look at the expiration date at some point because you realize you've had the same celery salt in your cabinet for, 114 months.
Where's the least bang for your buck at the grocery store? Is it like beer. Like, you know, like paying like $20 for a 12 pack. Like, I'm just trying to think of where the least bang for your buck is at the grocery
Vanilla store. Extract.
How much is it?
I don't remember. Okay. But it doesn't last that long as far as keeping is concerned.
And you know what else is very, very expensive is saffron, like those little saffron threads that are used as coloring a lot. That's super expensive.
And maple syrup. Maple syrup is very expensive.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I never considered that.
So I have two things to offer you today. I have a lighthearted one, and then I have a more serious one. I'm wondering which one you guys would like to get to first. You know what? Let's do the serious one first. So, Greg, I wanted to ask you, because over the weekend, a lot of people, you saw kind of like the hashtag RIP Herald going around there, and there seemed to be confusion because there was rumors that kind of the Herald was dying. And I wanted to get you on, because you're here, to kind of set the record straight on that, because I feel like a lot of people are confused as to what's going on with the Herald right now.
Yeah, no, we've been out front with it. The publisher essentially made a statement to readers saying that, you know, we're alive and well. I mean, well with an asterisk. Obviously, the publishing industry, including newspapers, is struggling a little bit. But I think this all started because the Herald announced plans to move out of its building in Doral and to go strictly remote for a few months, for at least some of the rest of this year. And so that got misinterpreted as to mean, you know, we were kicked out of the building and we're going out of business. That's not true. Because of the pandemic, all the reporters such as myself are going to be working remotely for the next few months. But I think there are plans to move into a new building either later this year or around the first of the year. That's my understanding.
How is this going to affect the union?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the One Herald Guild, our union, which is new, it's just a few months old. They're obviously very concerned. I'm not a member, you know, I'm a member of the union, but I'm not on an executive board or anything. So I'm just speaking as myself. But, you know, there's a lot of concern that there's going to be layoffs perhaps, or the threat of layoffs, and it's a weird, turbulent time, and it would be under normal circumstances, but in the middle of a pandemic and you know, an economic shutdown to a large degree, it just exacerbates the state of newspapers. And so, you know, we and other newspapers around the country are just struggling through this.
Roy, back to bang for your buck for a second. I don't know if syrup would count. While it could be an expensive product at the grocery store, it takes a long time for you to use your entire thing of syrup. Like, I feel like if we're talking, it's not just expensive items. We're talking about expensive items that don't last that long too. You know, right? If we're talking bang for your buck, like I've had a syrup in my cabinet for like 7 months. So I don't feel like, I feel like I get good bang for my buck with syrup.
I'm with Roy on that one though, because like, maybe you had it for 7 months, but that's probably because you haven't used syrup that often. Because like a you know, a whatever, a tube of syrup, or I don't even know what you would consider the dispenser, but like a serving of syrup, I could go through it in like four meals with syrup, like four servings of pancakes. I could be done with my syrup, I think.
That is a jug of syrup, by the way. And we're talking about fancy maple syrup that can cost $18 and up.
Oh, the healthy stuff. Ugh. Yeah, you're right. Aunt the ones Jemima. That come like in the glass jars, those are the worst.
Yeah. Before we get to Billy's fun topic, I want to bring it back to something we were talking about yesterday on the show. I want to get all your thoughts on this, because only Tony and I really spoke out. As far as peeing in the shower and peeing in the pool, Greg, what is your stance on both of those, whether you do it?
Well, peeing in the shower is perfectly fine. I mean, there's just absolutely nothing wrong with it. Nobody on earth is objecting to whether or not I pee in the shower, right? I mean, it's just a non-controversy. Yeah.
I mean, I've always lived by the theory of pee in pools, not showers. That's always been my motto.
What an odd take. Shouldn't it be the opposite? I mean,
no, because I'm standing in the shower. And like I said yesterday, my wife, and I think a lot of women, like, shower drains get clogged a lot if you live with a woman, because their hair, like, women shed hair. And, you know, so sometimes you get these little like puddles forming near the drain, and I don't want a urine little puddle in my shower.
Brave soul saying that. Brave.
Peeing in the shower versus peeing in the pool, if you're only doing one, peeing in the shower is more of a personal thing where it only affects you, where peeing in a pool is more kind of selfish because it impacts everyone that gets in the pool.
That's true, but I've always just lived under the assumption that the chlorine is doing something to this urine that it's not really affecting anybody.
Well, the problem with peeing in a pool, and I'm not saying I've never done it, although I certainly try not to, is that I'm very self-conscious because, you know, I don't think it's just me. Urine comes out in different colors. Sometimes it's very pale. Sometimes it's like dark yellow. And if it comes out with a definite color, you see the cloud of it as you're doing it. In other words, somebody who happens to be looking at me as I'm peeing in a pool will see what I'm doing.
Yeah, you're clearly an inexperienced pool peer. Like, all you got to do is, if you get moving at all, just go a little. Anytime you see someone making an odd lap to the deep end just to swim, and they're not, like, you know, working out or doing, like, laps, then, you know what they're doing. They're getting, like, they're formulating some bubbles. Anytime you see people doing a lot of kicking and there's a lot of bubbles forming around them, they're trying to create a distraction from what's really going on. Roy, so you're going to sit there. I see you, like, having, like, a lot of judgment in your face right now, as I see. You're going to sit here and claim that you don't pee in the shower or the pool ever?
That's right. And I just began the show saying that you and Tony were disgusting. So, yes. I don't do either.
Roy, I think you're living behind a shield, man. You're trying to have this public perception of I'm this perfect person when I feel like it ends up doing the opposite. People think less of you, Roy, because you're not admitting that you sometimes pee in the shower or the pool.
I'm not living behind a shield. I am not peeing in my shower because I don't want to clean my shower based on urine being on the floor.
No. The water cleans it. The water, yeah, exactly. It's gravity. You know, no. Water comes down and all. And especially drains. Roy, you know how drains work? It's kind of like the water just kind of swirls around and goes down the drain, gravity, whatever, right? So, like, all the water is just kind of swirling around there. So if there's any pee there, the water then comes afterwards. You don't do it after. You do it with the water on. And then the water kind of swirls around and cleans it. You know,
I know how
sometimes you'll move your foot around a little bit, make sure that everything goes down.
How drains work. Thank you.
Now, while we're on this general topic, have you guys ever had the thought of if you're in the shower and I'm taking a really hot shower, if somebody comes in and flushes the toilet, then you lose all your hot water? I don't know why I thought that was a thing. I don't know if I saw it in a movie when I was younger where somebody was in a shower and someone flushed it and then they're like, hey, what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe it's an up north thing where that happens. I've always had the thought that if I'm taking a hot shower, don't flush the toilet. Sometimes even I'll go pee in the toilet before a shower and then I won't flush it because I don't want to take away from the hot water. Now, have any of you guys ever had like thought that that was a thing or been worried about that?
I have never heard of that, to be honest with you. I'm not even sure if the hot water thing is hooked up to a toilet. I thought that was just faucets and, bathroom and kitchen sink and stuff like that.
Billy, you're with me on that.
Yeah, this has been a thing that's happened in movies where someone will go in and they'll, like, flush a toilet and then, like, the person in the shower screams. But I've never quite figured out because it's happened to me before. It just feels like it's always the opposite. So like if the water is cool, sometimes someone will flush a toilet and then all of a sudden it'll get hot and it'll burn you. But if you're taking like a hot shower, then it'll feel like it gets cold. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Something about Roy, we were just talking about plumbing. You told me you know how plumbing works. So explain this to me because all I know about plumbing is gravity and the water swirls around and then it goes down the pipe. What goes on with this?
I always thought that it was the sharing of faucets once the shower is on at the same time while somebody's washing their hands and somebody's using the hot water. So the hot water is being divided between the shower and the faucet. That's what I always thought. And there's no hot or cold mechanism to the toilet. So I don't know about that either. So
I'm just saying I've always lived my life. I think it's because of what Billy said. I think I've seen it in movies or TV shows where there's some correlation between flushing and hot water. So I've always lived my life with that fear. And then over the weekend, I'm in the middle of a shower and Roy can relate to this. These 2-year-olds, they always want to, like, when you're going number two, when you're showering, like, they just want to, like, hey, what are you doing in here? So my daughter comes in the shower in the bathroom and she flushes the toilet while I'm in the shower and I start panicking like, no, don't do that. And then as I'm showering, nothing happened with the water. So I just had this moment in the shower of I've been living my life under the thought of that being the case, and then it wasn't the case. So I'm here for everyone that's lived their life with that fear. You can flush the toilet. It's fine. It's not going to ruin your hot water. That's it. Like, I just wanted to share that PSA with you. That's what I learned over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. The hot water heater is not in any way connected to the toilet. That's why your toilet never has hot water in it.
I'm going to find some YouTube clip of some show building that lie up, and I'm going to send it to you because to prove Billy and I's point, because I'm telling you. Anyways, let's get to Billy's fun topic, his fopic. What do you got, Billy?
So I was thinking of a new segment that I wanted to pitch to you guys. And Chris, you missed out on it because you stepped away, but we kind of did a version of it while you were gone. And I don't know why Roy's hand is on his face here. I feel like maybe he knows what it is that I'm going to talk to you about, right? I'm trying to work out exactly how to do it here because I'm not sure the best way to execute this new segment idea. But the gist of it is it's called Small Talk with Billy and Roy, right? Or just Small Talk with Roy. And I'm trying to figure out if every time it's me and Roy conducting small talk or if it's just Roy conducting small talk with people. Because let me give you an example of how it works before we went on the air today. So you got up. Greg hadn't joined us yet. You got up. You walked around. You did whatever you were doing, right? You walked away from the computer. So it's just me and Roy kind of sitting here staring at each other on the computer, right? So this is how it started. I said, "Hey, Roy, how was your weekend?" And then he just said, "Fine." And then that was the end of that one. And then I was like, "Hey, Roy, how's Claire?" And then he was just like, "Fine." And then that was that. And then I was like, "What's new, Roy?" And then he was like, "Nothing." And then that ended that one. So it's just kind of like that. It's just small talk. And then at the end of it, I, you know, after three or four more questions, it kind of went like that. I just realized, I go, "Well, I guess that's it for small talk today, Roy." And he's like, "Yep." And then we were done.
Good segment. I mean, I was laughing the whole time. Roy, do you think this has legs?
No.
It's your wheelhouse. Small talk.
It's me actively playing defense against all of you.
So nothing in you wanted to say, "Hey, Billy, how was your weekend?
No.
What did you do?"
No, I don't care. So why would I ask?
Why would you not care?
The thing is that I think me and Roy are equally bad at small talk, you know, or Roy, which look,
I have the advantage at that.
No, Billy.
No, I was going to say,
or disadvantage actually.
No. I was going to say, like, I'm not going to pretend I don't know. Roy could just be getting annoyed with me and he doesn't want to have a conversation. I'm not saying necessarily he's bad at small talk. It could just be a me thing. Like, he doesn't want to be talking to me about, you know, Claire or whatever. So he was very short with the answers. But I'm not good at it either. So, like, when I'm kind of tossing it out there, it was like, it's basically like a tennis match where I'm just hitting a ball and no one's swinging and I'm playing by myself. Almost like what it felt like today. And then I'd be like, "Okay, like, I have five balls in my pocket. Like, I'm done. Now I got to run to the other side and go get them." And then I'm just hitting them back to, you know, no one.
Greg, you're muted.
Why? Because my dog was barking. Billy's challenge is to phrase a question to Roy that he literally cannot answer with one word. You know, you have to phrase the question in a way that just demands that he explain with at least a phrase, not just one word.
Roy will always win that game.
No, but I tried. I really tried this time. And I thought, what's a topic Roy likes to talk about? His daughter, Claire. And I heard Claire kind of singing in the background. And I knew the hot dog situation. So I'm like, okay, fine. This is it. This is the topic that I'm going to get Roy to talk about. And I didn't phrase it as a yes or no question. I said, "Hey, Roy, what's new with Claire?" And because he can't say yes. And he can't say no to what's new with Claire. And then the answer was just nothing. And I'm like, "Roy, you know, how did you know if Claire was right-handed or left-handed?" And I tried to kind of get that conversation going. And that one was very short. He's like, "She grabbed the pencil with the right hand. She's right-handed." I'm like, "Okay. I guess that's how you..." That's how you know.
Oh, man. Hey, that is a fun game that you're playing, that we're playing with the kids right now. Are they right-handed? Are they left-handed? It's tough to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, Roy, all right, enough of the game. We get it. The game is over.
Yeah, that's a yes or no question, dude.
The right-handed, left-handed thing is so confusing to me because I don't have a child, but everybody else in here has had children and has, you know, come to this point in the life where it's like, okay, is my kid right-handed or left-handed, right? I would assume you just follow the kid's lead and what they start kind of doodling with or whatever, that's what they're showing a strength in, and that's how you determine if they're right-handed or left-handed, right? But what if they're just copying you and they see that you're right-handed or left-handed and their whole life they've been writing with the wrong hand, and they're not actually right-handed. They're left-handed, or they're not actually left-handed. They're right-handed, and you didn't know what to do, and you've just ruined this child's life forever because of that little thing.
Have we ever asked Ron, do animals have strong and weak hands? Like, I was going to ask Billy, I was going to ask you if your dog is right or left-handed.
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, when do you decide if a kid is right-handed or left-handed? Or when does a kid start letting you know?
My daughter has been, like, she doodles and writes with both hands. But when she throws balls, she's got a much better arm with her right. So that's what makes me think she's right-handed. But I don't know, man.
I have a shameful admission, and I don't know. None of my dogs have ever thrown balls or ridden anything, so I don't know if they're right-handed or left-handed.
Right.
I think Roy and Christopher have an ability, if they choose to follow up, to grow ambidextrous children. Like, think about it. You have the power so that your daughters can throw right and left-handed. They can write right and left-handed. They can putt in golf right or left-handed. Very few people are actually ambidextrous, but when you think about it, why not?
That's something you have to work really hard for, and I feel like, what am I really going to get out of that? Like, I'd rather work really hard to become, like, the best right-handed golfer. I just don't feel like, what's the ceiling? Like, how is that going to really, like, benefit you in your life?
Let's say your kid is right-handed, right, and gets attacked by a shark and loses their right hand. If you started at a young age teaching them with their left hand, then they don't really have a lot to pick up, right? I mean, obviously, hopefully your kids don't get attacked by sharks. I'm not wishing that on anyone. But,
you
know, that's the thing. As a kid, I liked trying to, like, mimic, like, switch hitting. Like, I don't think I ever used it in a game, but, like, I'd go to the batting cages and I'd try to hit left-handed. And I try, because I was right-handed, so I'd be batting right-handed. But I'd go to the batting cage and I just really liked batting left-handed also. And like, kind of what you're saying, I never got anything out of it other than, the fact that I could do it sometimes. I'd only hit left-handed on, like, pickup games, like, with my friends and stuff like that. And a lot of times it would just be to kind of mess with the pitcher and, like, confuse them. But I did hit a home run one time left-handed over a fence, and that was, whew,
what?
You know what? Yeah.
Damn.
That's right. It was short fence.
I've hit left-handed in, like, the street, like, pickup games and stuff. When my team's up late in the game, I'll get in there left-handed, but never in an actual game. Wow, that's an impressive opposite. You hit a left-handed home run.
I mean, it was like a middle school field that had a shorter fence, but it was kind of like a reverse Fenway where, like, in right field, they had this, like, really high, like, probably 30 or 40 foot high fence that was maybe like 250 feet away, but it was like a lot taller to kind of, you know.
That's impressive. I'm impressed. Do you guys think that it would be fun if the NFL or any sport really put a cap on contracts? So let's say you can't sign contracts past 6 years from now. So 7 years from now, we are going to have completely blank slates where nobody's contracted to a team, and we do like a video game style redraft of an entire sport where all the names are available. Like if we did it in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, like every single person in 6 years from now will have
no free agent.
Is a free agent, but then we do a draft. So it's not like you can't sign with teams like a free agent, but then there's just a snake draft. And we just redraft all the teams because ESPN did this last week. They just, if the NFL did this, let's redraft the first like four rounds and see where the picks go. Like Teddy Bridgewater was a first round pick, oddly enough. Like it was interesting. And I'm just saying, I think it would be fun if this actually happened. Do you think, Greg, like obviously it's never going to happen, but like why not? Why couldn't something like that happen?
So there would no longer be any such thing as one athlete spending his entire career in one city.
That's true.
That's a little bit of a drawback.
Unless the team drafted them again.
Right. That's true. Like they could get drafted. Aaron Rodgers could get drafted by the Packers again. But yes, that would be one downside is that we'd lose that. But I think the upside, it would just like, think about how exciting watching that draft would be. Like if I'm a Dolphins fan, it's like, we're starting over. Let's do this. Like I think that would be extremely interesting.
So like every 10 years or something, you just have a new like draft for your franchise.
Didn't you guys ever played video games that way? I used to do that all the time in video games where like MLB, I'd start, I'd be the Marlins and I would just redraft and start my own team. And I was always a big fan of that. I would love that.
It seems like a plan that fans of lousy teams would really love. And fans of strong franchises would be like, what? Bleepity bleep, why do I want to do that?
Maybe that's why I'm thinking of it, because all my teams stink.
Right.
Are you still feeling good about Tua? Like, I feel like some of that's kind of worn off a little bit. Not that we don't have faith in Tua. Well, no, it's just, you know, I feel like there's no buzz around it right now. Last thing that we talked about the Dolphins was that they turned the stadium into a drive-through movie theater.
Has anyone thought about doing that? Has anyone thought of going to watch like a movie at the Pro Player? No?
No.
I think I would do it maybe.
I haven't either.
What I was kind of thrown off by was when it was like, oh, we're going to show classic Dolphins moments. It's like, I don't know.
Right.
I can go on YouTube and see that. I don't know that I want to drive to, you know, Hard Rock Stadium to watch Dolphins highlights.
To answer your question, Billy, I'm still extremely excited about Tua. I mean, there's been a lot of crap going on in recent weeks, so I think that's why it's kind of just like falling onto the back burner. But once this football season gets going, I'm going to be as into it as I've been in ever, I think. I mean, I'm really excited about it. Can you hear my voice? How excited I am?
You can be as into it.
Oh, let's go. I hope he has good football intuition.
Roy, you got one?
Roy made a noise through my joke. He stepped on. I'll say it again. I hope he has good football intuition.
God.
Greg, you love wordplay. Come on, make it to a joke.
Oh, my gosh. Get back to me on that. Let me think.
Christ.
Get back to him.
There it was, right in front of your face.
It's time to end this right now.
Wow, the curse. Ooh, there it is. I got to bleep it. Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome.
Greg, you just sent me the text again. Plug your podcast.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you know, the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody comes out every Monday. And please rate, subscribe, review. In this week's episode, not only do we get into the serious stuff like NASCAR banning the Confederate flag and silly stuff, but, you know, we talk about our duck family. We have a great interview with an author. We update you on my crepe myrtle tree. I mean, we're just so jam-packed with stuff in this episode, you won't want to miss it.
Also, Greg does something very disgusting that I catch him with, and it's very funny.
Allegedly.
Can I ask you questions about your podcast?
Sure, please.
Or have to listen.
Are you kidding me?
What kind of tree is this?
It's called a Queen's Crepe Myrtle. It's an expensive flowering tree. I spent like $130 for it. It had transplant shock. So it all of a sudden it starts dying and leaves are yellowing and falling off. And through tender loving care, Greg Cody is bringing that tree back from the dead and watching it progress day by day. Such a gratifying experience. Any tree owners out there perhaps can relate.
Seems like a waste of money to me, Greg.
Well, Roy, I'm a nature lover. I have three stones. And, you know, what can I tell you? I'm a man of, I like my shade. I like a flowering tree. You know, other than the jacaranda, you don't find many flowering trees. So we're happy to have a crepe myrtle flourishing now in our backyard.
I'm glad you're happy.
Thanks, Roy.
That's the thing about plants that people don't realize is you think, hey, I'll just plant this plant here. And it's like, no. There's shade plants that need a certain amount of sunlight. There's some that need to be in constant sunlight. There's some that can grow without a ton of sunlight. You always need to know where to plant your plant properly. And that's something that a lot of people don't think about when they get plants. They just think, hey, I like what this tree looks like. This will look great here. Wrong environment for the plant. Wrong soil type. I had another plant question for you, Greg. Do you have a pineapple tree? I thought I saw a picture of a pineapple.
Yeah. In fact, I just made a pineapple dessert from a pineapple I grew yesterday. I have three pineapple plants in my yard right now. Two of them are planted and one is still in a pot. When they're in a pot, they don't produce a pineapple. You have to plant it in the ground.
Hold the phone. You have two planted pineapple plants, a pineapple plant in a pot, and you just got me for my birthday a pineapple?
I was going to ask about that right now.
Yes.
Wait, yeah. What? I feel like the pineapple plant in a pot would have been a good gift.
Yeah.
Actually, I offered it to you, and you said you were going to take it home, and then you didn't. Uh-oh.
But that was after the birthday stuff.
Okay, but you didn't take it home.
I was just talking about like when you were saying to yourself, I really want to get Christopher a pineapple plant, but then you couldn't find one anywhere, so you just bought me a pineapple when you had three, one of which would have been easy to give at your house.
Guilty. Got me on that one. I think I forgot I had that pineapple plant in the house.
Do we want to do a full spoiler alert? Because we kind of just ruined everything that we talk about with the Great Myrtle Tree in the podcast episode. But like, Do you want to give an update with your duck family?
No, I'd like people to listen to the podcast for that, actually. Yeah, it's an emotional update. I think we can all agree on that.
All right.
All right, Greg, send us out of here. Send people into their Tuesday the right way.
Well, you know, there's no better way to go into your Tuesday than to listen to the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts on a Greg Cody Tuesday after having listened to the new Greg Cody show podcast earlier in the day.
Talk to you later, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.